Excellent. All right, looks like we have everyone admitted. I would like to call the meeting of the Application Review Committee to order. Today's date is February 28th, 2025. The time is 7:35 a.m. The purpose of this meeting is to substantially review the psychologist applications listed on the agenda for today. Kathy, could you please do roll call?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Flint?
Present.
Dr. Medina?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Kathy. So let me switch screens here. The first category is requesting approval to sit for the ECCC only, and we have five applicants in this section. I'll start out with the first one, Dr. Medina. Okay. So
Perfect.
Dr. Deeming, Jack Deeming, received their doctoral degree in clinical psychology from APA accredited Midwestern University in Glendale. Noted to be on 8/1/23 on their application. There is a discrepancy in this date. The official transcript lists the date of conferral as 8/24/23. The declaration and attestation questions were completed. There are two references and self-query, and we have internship hours from the Federal Bureau of Prisons Tucson in the amount of 2,000 verified hours. They are an APIC site. I don't see anything that I picked up on this application, Dr. Medina.
Yeah, no concerns with the application. I had the internship at St. Raphael Counseling in Greenwood Village, Colorado.
Oh, did I miss?
APIC member, not APA. It's fine.
Okay. And how many
Just
hours did you say? I must have just made an error in that section.
I or maybe it was me. I don't know. But it looked fine. I had no concerns about that application.
Okay, excellent. Moving on to the next one, Dr.
Dr. Eden Buchanan Anderson received her doctorate in clinical psychology from NAU in September of 2024. It's an APA accredited program, completed her internship at SBH, which is an APA accredited internship, submitted the two letters of reference and self-query. Also, the fingerprint clearance card was submitted as well. So I have no concerns with this application.
There was a slight discrepancy, Dr. Medina, in the noted by applicant graduation date was 9/6/24. The transcript reflects the conferral as 10/18/24.
Yeah, probably because they finished the internship on September 18th and then, but the degree is conferred later. But yeah.
I didn't have any other concerns on that one.
Yeah, no.
The third one in this category, Dr. Allison Anglin. She received their doctoral degree in counseling psychology from APA accredited Brigham Young University, sorry about that, on August 15, 2024. The declaration and attestation questions were completed. We have two current references and a self-query with the 2000 APA accredited program internship hours on file. I didn't see anything in this file, Dr. Medina. Okay.
No concerns.
Would you take the team?
Okay. The next one is Dr. Caitlin Ellis. Dr. Ellis received her doctorate in clinical psychology from Alliant International University, San Francisco, which is an APA accredited program in September of 2024. Completed her internship at SBH, which is an APA accredited internship. Submitted the two letters of reference and self-query, and the fingerprint clearance card was submitted as well. So I have no concerns with this application.
It's nice to see them already catching that very recent change and submitting the papers. That's very good news. The last one in this section is Dr. Christina Horner. This is a reapplication. She received her doctoral degree in clinical psychology from APA accredited Northern Arizona University. She was approved to sit for the ECCC originally on June 7th, 2024. And then she took the test in September of 24, but unfortunately failed to meet the pass score requirements. The declaration and attestation questions were completed. A new self-query was submitted. the two recommendations were still within time limit, and of course, nothing changed on the previously approved internship hours. So I didn't have any concerns at her taking another attempt, and hopefully with great success.
Yes, let's hope so. So no concerns on my end either.
Okay, so I would ask for a motion to approve all the applications requesting approval to sit for the ECPP to move forward to the board.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Second category we have for today is requesting approval to sit for the ECPP and licensure. There are four applications in this section. And so I will start out with Dr. Sanchez. I don't know who the phone callers are, so I'm not sure if those are applicants or not. If Dr. Sanchez is on. Okay, we'll move forward. This is a reapplication, technically applying anew. She received her doctorate degree in clinical psychology from APA accredited Argosy University, noted by the applicant to be on October 24th, 2015. There's a discrepancy in that date. The transcript actually lists date of conferral as in July 9th, 2015. Dr. Sanchez has taken the ECPP three times, in 2019, 21, and again in 24. The declaration and attestation questions were completed with one termination noted. That was already reviewed by the full board in June of 2024, so no need to re-review it here. A study plan was submitted, noting an increase in individual tutorial support in preparation for the next attempt at testing. She's also asking for one additional hour for testing due to supported a medically verified reason, and that documentation is in the file. There are two current references in a self-query. The internship hours and postdoc hours were previously already approved, so nothing changed there. I don't have any concern about the request for that additional time. Dr. Medina, do you have any questions on Dr. Sanchez's file?
I do not.
Excellent. We'll move on to Dr. Boyles, please.
Yes, Dr. Boyles received her doctoral degree in counseling psychology from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in August 2024. It is an APA-accredited program. Completed an APA-accredited internship at the Northern Arizona VA Healthcare System in July 2024 for a total of 2,080 hours. Submitted pre-internship hours to complete the requirement of 3,000 hours. Some of the hours, 344 hours from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln Counseling and School Psychology Clinic. And those hours, it was 344 hours, 121 direct, and 106 of supervision. The second set of hours submitted were from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln Counseling and Psychology Services. 619 hours were submitted, 200 direct hours. I marked the 56 hours of supervision, and I did have some concerns about those hours. Give me one second. I think I wasn't sure if that didn't meet. I marked it, but I forgot to make a remark, so give me one.
I had noted, Dr. Medina, that because of the individual supervision hours not being enough for 619 hours. If my calculations are correct, she could only use about 580 of that total.
Yeah, I think that was my concern as well. That wasn't enough. It didn't meet the threshold. So we would, I guess, need to ask her to submit additional hours or postdoctoral hours, because it doesn't meet.
Did you happen to calculate, let me do a quick addition here, how many hours short total we are.
Yeah, so give me 1 second. 620 divided 20.
Oh,
So
1,000.
here the issue is she's submitting 29 individual supervision hours. It should have been around 31. And I think, yeah. And so it's still short. It should have been 31 of individual at the minimum, and then at least 31 also for group. So we are short there.
Chair, committee members,
Yes, Kathy.
if I may, with this one, the possibility exists that in this pre-internship, if she and the supervisor, if the committee chooses to issue a fare, one of the things that can be part of the fare is that having the supervisor and the applicant review that site's hours and see if there is a subset, a continuous subset, start to finish, that does have the required direct hours and supervision hours that she could then submit. If I remember correctly, the combination is low enough, or the amount that's deficient is low enough that that might be a possible answer. And then the other option is for, as you said, submit additional hours like postdoc hours. Usually, when the committee has made a request like this, though, you're going to want to see the supervision logs. So that you can verify the subset of continuous hours.
Yeah, because if we add, then there are 61. Yeah, but they were not. So it would have to be shortened
Yes.
so that the hours meet the criteria, right, that we're looking for. And then she does have other experiences that kind of count for the rest of
Yes.
the hours. So she has the sports psychology that, was only 61 hours, but of course it can supplement. And then there is one more ex no, that's it.
Okay, so it sounds like we are going to request a fare letter to see if there's a subset of hours that meet the requirement for just the UNL counseling and psychology. Or are there additional hours that can be added in that place to make sure that we're meeting the correct calculations? Okay.
She only has an over like a she has a total of 1,023 hours with those three experiences. Oh, and then there. Oh, I take that back. So maybe, yeah. But in a nutshell, correct. 344.
Process that. Is there any other concerns that you saw on her file at all?
No.
I agree. All right. Moving on to the third in this section, Dr. Matthew Stowers. He received his doctoral degree in clinical psychology from APA accredited Midwestern University on 8/16/24. He does have a license as a massage therapist in North Carolina, which did expire but had no actions. Declaration and attestation questions were completed, two references and the self-query are on file, and the receipt for the fingerprint clearance card was also included. The pre-internship hours and internship hours appear to be in order. The internship was at an APA-accredited site. The documented pre-internship hours appeared to meet particularly the direct and the one-to-one supervision criterion. I did not see any other additional issues with this. Did you, Dr. Medina?
I did not.
Excellent. Will you take the last one in that section?
Yes. Our next applicant is Tammy Ritchie. And Dr. Ritchie is requesting to sit for the ECCC for a sixth time. Dr. Ritchie is also requesting accommodations. There is a study plan submitted I had no concerns. I think this application has been reviewed several times, given that this is the sixth attempt. The only concern that I marked here, which is not actually in regards to the application, it's in regard to her signature, which she signs with her name, and underneath it says forensic and clinical psychologist. That was my main concern with this application. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are, Dr. Flint. I do think because of the number I will share, because this is the sixth attempt, I think, we may want the committee to review, the whole board to review this request.
And I actually did have a legal question if Jean's available to go into executive session for the purpose of discussing confidential health information and for legal advice.
Second.
Thank you.
I'm assuming that was a motion.
Yes, sorry, I was not.
I second your motion.
The magic will now happen. Everybody else, hang tight while we're doing this little executive session.
Madam Chair, just call for the vote, please. And sorry, even though we know it's going to be affirmative.
Oh, thank you. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, here we go.
With your thought earlier, Dr. Medina, I would like to move this application to the full board for review. It's definitely some unique circumstances, and I would like the full board's opinion on it.
Yes,
Do I make
I agree with that. And then asking board staff if they can bring up the issue of the signature when it's appropriate for them to use the signature.
Staff, do you need any additional information on that issue or?
No, thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. All right, I believe that is the last one in this section. So I would like to move to send to the full board with a request for approval to sit for the ECCN licensure on number 1, 3, and 4, which are Sanchez, Stowers, and Ricci. Or sorry, I apologize. Let me back up. Scratch that all. Oh my word, Dr. Medina, I apologize.
It's
Okay.
you're fine. You're fine.
So request approval to sit for ECCN licensure. We're move forward, Dr. Sanchez, which is number 1, and Dr. Stowers, which is number 3. For Dr. Boyles, we want to do a fair letter to request a documentation of a continuous subset of hours that do meet the requirement or additional hours from another source, with particular attention to the deficit for the UNL Counseling and Psychology Services site. And that is a pre-internship site. And for number 4, we are going to, Dr. Ricci, ask for that to be put on the full board agenda for discussion of the individual issues of that case and for full board opinion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
May I, does your motion include for Dr. Sanchez to approve her request for accommodations?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I think all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. I am recused from the only item in C, which was the approval of supervised experience for licensure. So that will go to the full board for review. That's already noted on the agenda. There are no applicants in category D. So we will move to the 7 applicants requesting approval for licensure by waiver. And that begins with Dr. An. She graduated from the AP accredited Azusa Pacific University with a doctoral degree in clinical psychology, reported by the applicant to be on 7/14/13. The application transcript actually has a date of conferral of September, so there's just a couple of months difference there. declaration and attestation questions were completed. She is licensed in California. That is inactive. And in Nevada. Both of them in the original packet expired 12/31/24, but Kathy was able to add updated that they are both still current. Mm-hmm. Copy of the current fingerprint license card was received. Thank you for that. And the two references and self-query are in the packet. We have internship verification and postdoc verification. The internship was APA accredited. And the postdoc hours, at least to my calculations, look like they meet the criterion. I didn't see any concerns in this application, Dr. Medina. Did you?
I did not. No concerns.
Would you take the next?
Sure. Let's see. Dr. Tammy Kushner graduated from Nova Southeastern University in June 1999. It is an AP accredited program. Obtained a passing ACCC score. In October of 2000, is currently licensed in Florida and has an 8-bit. Both are currently active and submitted references and self-query. I had no concerns with this application.
I agree. Thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. The third in this section, Dr. Jennifer Krause, this is a fair letter response. She obtained her doctorate degree in counseling psychology from Walden University on 5/15/22. The core program requirements were reviewed and already approved in prior meetings. We have internship verification from Dr. Bushman and Associates, non-APIC or APA member. And there were some concerns about compensation. There's also on page 57 of our packet, it actually said that they worked 40.65 hours per week. And I just wanted to clarify, we can only count 40 hours per week. There's a lot of background in this. And so I believe Dr. Bushman. Yep, Dr. Bushman is here. If you want to unmute yourself and also you can use your camera if you'd like. Is Dr. Krause here? Yes, Dr. Krause as well. Welcome to the meeting.
Thank you. And I'm not sure how to get my camera on. I apologize.
Okay. We will trust that it's you. Hello, Dr. Krause.
Hello.
So the one of the main issues in the FAIR letter appears to be that the stipend available to students in a couple different places implies that it is based on productivity. Dr. Medina, were you in the previous presentations of this case, and do you have any additional insight into what was discussed prior?
Yes, I was there at least, I mean, I think for most of it. Yes, that was one of the main concerns, that it appeared to be in the training agreement that it was based on productivity. Mm-hmm. And in the first FAIR letter, we requested documentation because we received documentation, I believe, from both of them, Dr. Krause and Dr. Bushman, stating that it was paid at a flat fee of $20 per hour. And the documentation that was provided did not suffice to show that it was such. And so in the second FAIR, that is when we requested first for Dr. Bushman to appear in person at the meeting, and then to be present at the meeting, virtually, of course. And then for documentation to show that those payments, that the amounts that were provided were indeed paid as such.
So last night, quite late, we received additional documentation on this case. And the documentation was due, I believe, by February 18th, and able to be, you know, in order for everybody to be able to look through it and kind of digest it. I did not look at it between 9:22 last night and 7:30 this morning.
No.
That was not an option. So I wonder if we might proceed by asking any questions that we have of Dr. Bushman as a supervisor, and then refer this to a continuance to the next meeting when all that documentation can be reviewed thoroughly.
Yes.
Did you have any questions for Dr. Bushman in particular, Dr. Medina?
Yes. So, Dr. Bushman, can you explain, please, how this placement was paid?
So we had a payment agreement that just indicated she would be paid $20 an hour for regular time services, and anything beyond that would be paid at $30 an hour overtime.
Okay. Dr. Krause was paid regardless of whether Dr. Krause was with a patient, a client, or not.
Yes.
Okay.
Dr. Medina, continue.
Oh, no. I just have one more. Do you have records, Dr. Bushman, of the payment submitted to Dr. Krause?
So I believe in the previous meeting, she provided some invoices. I know that you had asked for pay stubs.
Yep.
The only thing that we did, we had a combination of ways that she was paid, cash, checks, electronic payments, and it was a little bit complicated. So what we had was just those invoices marked as settled. I have a file with those that when we reconciled each month, we marked them down as settled and had her initials on them. But other than that, I don't have...
Yeah.
Pay stubs or anything beyond that.
Would you not have them for accounting? So if she's an employee, whether it's contract, right? Like whether it was contract or W-2, which it doesn't.
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, I do my own accounting, and you know, that was the record that we kept. So just, and for me, that was sufficient that, you know, we both agreed.
How many employees do you have?
None. Dr. Krause and I are the only people that work out of the office.
Okay. And is your business an LLC, an S corp? How do you submit your taxes?
Just a sole proprietorship.
Okay. So then in your, when you submitted your tax record, then it shows that as an expense, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe it might be that shows that as an expense with the amount that she was paid, since she's the only employee.
So on that kind of a thing, I also have other expenses with, you know, professional services, people, you know, cleaning, those kinds of things. And on my expense account, it falls into the same category of professional services. But we could do a 1099. You know, we can produce a 1099 for her if that would be helpful.
So you did not produce a 1099 at that point?
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm saying. That wasn't requested before, but if you'd like to see that, we can do that.
Yes. Definitely, because you should have, right, at that for the time. I know it was probably over the span of, you know, 2 years, whether it was 21, 22, or 22, 23, whatever that may have been.
Correct.
Yes. And then it probably then Dr. Krause used that to submit her taxes as part of
the documentation that you use for submit taxes. So maybe that might be something we can obtain. Those were my questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Medina, I just have a couple follow-up again. Dr. Krauss, did you get a 1099 at the end of year for the service that you filed for your own taxes to show your income?
I do believe so.
Do you have copies of those? Because that would show the number amount versus Excel spreadsheets and Word documents.
I probably do. I had packed my entire house to move out of state prior to getting a job offer here. And I have no idea where anything is because my whole house is in boxes. So it would take me a little bit of time, but I'm sure I can try to find that. Or if Dr. Bushman has a copy, I can get one from him.
I believe you can request a copy. And I don't know, I'm not really sure if this is a legal question. You can correct me, Ms. Gavin. You can request a copy from the IRS too if you were not to find it, because everything that you submitted, they have.
Okay. Dr. Bushman, one other just clarification question. So if Dr. Krauss was in supervision with you or in a didactic training with you or somebody that you had arranged, those were paid hours on the books.
Yes, I believe those times were paid. There were also administrative duties that she did for me, things that she did around the office, errands that she ran. She was paid for all of those things.
Okay, so she was not paid just for face-to-face time with clients. She
no, was training. No, that is clear.
And is there any document that says that? Because the other documents that have been submitted in different ways, $20 and $30 an hour, there was a couple other wording things, are not clear about what that was. Or do we now have every piece of documentation minus a 1099 that you guys have?
I think that you have everything minus a 1099.
Okay.
I would agree. Yeah, we didn't. I don't think we understood that we would be under this degree of scrutiny on it. We didn't realize there would be an issue.
What we're trying to do is protect the integrity of training, right? That training is not straight employment. And so if people were only paid based on the hours that they were face-to-face with clients, that's an employment experience, not an educational experience. I guess
yes.
Simple way I can put it.
I understand.
And the Arizona law and statute definitely is very clear about that. So that's why we have to be able to figure this out in some way that has documentation to support that.
Yes, I understand.
Okay.
And I think we both have testified that is the case. She was paid for things. It was not based on face-to-face hours.
In order to give time to review the things that were sent yesterday, I think, Dr. Medina, that we will move this forward to the next committee meeting so that we have time to fully look at everything. If we could also get that 1099, I think that would provide some clarity. Do you have any other requests, Dr. Medina?
I would like to go into executive session for legal advice, please. That's a motion.
I will second that motion. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Everybody hang tight. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. Dr. Bushman, just one additional question. I'm sorry to keep belaboring this, but I wanted to bring a very specific example forward. In the internship training plan, it literally says written by somebody into that document, which my assumption would be you and Dr. Krause did that together. It says, quote, about stipend, it says varies greatly, quote, varies greatly, but pay is available for client contact hours. Hours spent working on administrative tasks, case management, and other time in the office is not reimbursable. It says that in the training.
Yes. And I believe Dr. Krause, I wasn't part of the previous hearing, but Dr. Krause explained that that was taken from previous training agreements from long ago, something that I had on file. And so that was just an obsolete thing that we had missed. We tried to update it, but we missed that part.
So your testimony is, and I apologize, I wasn't in the last discussion either, so I'm trying to play a little bit of catch up here. Your testimony is that this was in there in error from a previous training plan or agreement. It was just missed, and that is, in fact, not what happened.
That is correct.
Okay. Dr. Medina, did you have any other follow-up questions before we entertain a motion? Oh, wait. No, this is part of a section. Let's take this one out separately and do the motion now. Are you in agreement, Dr. Medina?
Dr. Medina, you're muted.
You see, I do it as well.
Yes, that is fine. We can take this one. I don't have any further questions at this point. I will bring up Dr. Pushman. It just seems odd. Was Dr. I'm sorry, Dr. Krause. So you mentioned she got paid, right? Not only for client contact, but for the other time as well. You mentioned like running errands and things like that. I don't know, administrative tasks. I'm not, whatever falls under that, but what errands would she be running? Like, it just seems like, was she an assistant? Was she an intern? Was she a postdoc?
So she was an intern. But there were times that she helped me with record reviews on cases that I did. She spent a lot of time doing that. She spent time doing supervisory and research, me doing the supervision for her, but also doing research on certain topics for me, helping me prepare cases for trial.
For cases. Okay.
Yes, those kinds of things. I said running errands, on rare occasions, I'd send her to go pick up lunch or go get stamps and envelopes, but primarily those other things.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to make a motion, please, to with the late addition of that additional documentation to move this to full board review with time to review the additional documents submitted last night in order to make an informed decision about what we've heard. Do I have a second, Dr. Medina?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Dr. Bushman. Thank you, Dr. Krause, for being here and for answering those additional questions.
Dr. Madam Chair and committee members,
yes.
I have a question about the motion. Are we talking about going to the March 7th meeting, which is next week?
What is feasible based on what is already scheduled?
That's a good question. That would be Heidi.
Madam Chair, we had this item as a potential placeholder on the board meeting agenda. So, if it is the directive of the committee to address this on March 7th, staff will, prepare that accordingly. If the committee feels that there's a reason to reschedule, but to instead schedule that for the April 4th meeting, we'll take that directive. So it's really up to you.
Dr. Medina, my preference would be to go ahead and do it at this committee meeting so we don't have to revisit everything so far.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, yeah. So let's put it on this meeting. Thank you for that clarification question. Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Krause. Thank you, Dr. Bushman, for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. The next item in this agenda is item number 4. Let me scroll down in my notes to find it. Dr. Chamberlain Scott. This is also a second FAIR request. Dr. Chamberlain Scott, is she here? I don't see her. She received her doctorate in school psychology from APA-accredited University of Arizona. By her documentation on 5-2023, and again, another discrepancy between the official transcript, which says that that was not conferred until 8-19-23. An ECCC passing score was obtained in Michigan. She is licensed in Michigan as of 10-4-24 with no actions. Two references and a self-query were received. Now, in review of the literature, while I appreciated the review of the Michigan rule and statute, the application is for Arizona, and so we must follow Arizona versus the argument that we did it right in Michigan. There is added pre-internship numbers, and in my thought process, because those were added, I'm assuming that they want to not belabor the issues we were finding on the other hours. Is that how everyone took it? Okay. So in pre-internship verification, there are still, unfortunately, several problems. In the site for Southern Arizona Neuro Associates, the activity summaries provided don't have the same ranges or show total hours for the training experience. The sleep and health research study site, which I kind of wish she would have been here because it's interesting to have hours collected as part of a study. In any rate, direct hours weren't within the normal limit. They needed 25% direct. So if they only got 2 direct hours, then they could only count 8 hours of this experience. So I'm wondering if there might have been a typo or an error there. And then I just wanted to clarify that they were at the Southern Arizona Neuro Associates site and the Sleep Health in the same period because those dates overlap.
And I believe when it's in the during the same period, and Kathy can correct me if I'm wrong, can they be combined, the total hours and supervision and indirect hours, Kathy?
Madam Chair, Dr. Medina, my understanding is direct hours can be combined, supervision hours cannot because they need to be contemporaneous. If she was at 2 different sites for the same time period, you may wish to look at the number of hours worked per week for each of those. She may have been part-time at each of them during that same time period.
Thank you, Kathy.
Okay. So perhaps there's a little bit of...
Yeah. So one is 11 hours per week, the one at the Southern Arizona Neuropsychology Associates. Okay. And the sleep and health research study, 2 hours worked per week. I'm sorry, is that? 2 hours worked per week.
It's a possibility, obviously, that they were doing them at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So if that is the case, let me see. I've got some other notes here. The field work plan that was received for Revere Elementary was blank and not specific to the student. It was also reported as completed by self, so I'm wondering about the collaboration between the supervisor and the student. The fieldwork plan for Southern Arizona was filled out and reviewed with the supervisor, as well as the behavioral sleep medicine clinic was filled out, it appears, collaboratively with the supervisor. There's an issue on this case as well of the compensation. On page 32 of 54, compensation for postdoc, it appears, it says compensation for services performed in each calendar month for the period beginning on the effective date of the term, the employee shall be entitled to 40% of gross revenue for regular client appointments. So that again appears to be a situation of being paid for productivity of direct hours with a client only.
But that's for postdoc, but I thought they were not going to use postdoc.
Are we throwing out the postdoc hours and just using, that's right, sorry. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's right.
They just gave pre-internship hours for the second FAIR request. Thank you for that correction. There was a lot of back and forth and documentation this meeting, Dr. Medina. I appreciate your guidance there. Did you see any other concerns with the newly given pre-internship hours?
I agree with the blank training plan.
Can we do a third?
Sorry, go ahead.
Can we do a third FAIR? Or how does this work when we've asked for information a couple times already?
I'm not aware that you can't ask for an additional FAIR.
Yes, oh. Madam Chair, it's unusual, but it can be done.
Has happened in the past.
Yes.
Especially because under the second FAIR, you've received new additional information and you need more information.
Mm-hmm.
So if Dr. Chamberlain Scott hears this recording, I would really encourage to be as accurate as possible with the stuff that is sent in clarification. So we will ask for a new training plan for Riviera Elementary that is not empty. We will ask for clarity about the sleep and health research study hours, because the minimum needed for direct hours at a training site at practicum level is 25%. So was this a clerical error? Otherwise, those hours need to be amended and potentially collapse together. I don't know, Kathy, how you will ask that in the letter, but as we discussed and as you guided, Ms. Pakkinen, what words of wisdom do you have for us?
No, none. Just a question. Would you, as part of this FAIR, request Dr. Chamberlain Scott attend so she can help provide the clarity that you're lacking today? Okay, we can include that.
Thank you. Dr. Manita, would you like anything else added to that? And then we will also motion on this more complicated one now so that we don't forget in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think you got everything.
Okay, so I'd like to make a motion for Dr. Chamberlain Scott that we do a third FAIR letter with the pieces that we just discussed. And hopefully that will clarify the questions and her presence at the next meeting. Dr. Medina?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. So the next person on this agenda section is Dr. Uribe Rine. Would you take that one?
Sure. Yes, Madam Chair. So let's see. Dr. Uribe Rine received her doctoral degree from Nova Southeastern University, an AP accredited program in June of 2024. This is in response to a FAIR on clarification on pre-internship hours. And So in her response, Dr. Riverini submitted 1,120 postdoctoral psychology hours to replace those pre-internship hours from Banner University Health in Tucson, Arizona. Dr. Riverini completed her internship at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, Department of Psychiatry, which is an APA-accredited program, and received an ACCP score in July of 2024. She holds a psychologist candidate license from the state of Colorado and a behavioral analyst license from Arizona. The references and self-query were submitted. After the fair, seeking clarification from those pre-internship hours, Dr. Uriberini switched to using postdoctoral hours in the amount of 1,120, and those look to be in order. So that's it. It looks in order if we use those hours. Postdoctoral hours instead of
find any other issues now that we're not looking at the pre-internship hours. Thank you for that review. The next one in this section is number 6. Dr. Choi obtained her doctoral degree in applied clinical psychology from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology in Anaheim on August 27th, 2023. Dr. Choi, I see you are here. Thank you for attending. You are licensed in California since 12/31/24 with no actions. Declaration and attestation statements were completed. Since the program was not APA accredited, the core requirements form was submitted, but appears to have multiple deficiencies. For trimester credits, at least 6 credits are needed in each section, and only one of the sections assessment had enough of all hours included. There was a note that attempted to use 1 3 trimester class that basically looks like it was a preparation to take the ECCP across 7 categories, attempting to account for a total of 15 credits. And I will just confirm with the team that is not something that we can do. Use 1 class with 3 trimester credits to count for basically 15 missing credits across 7 categories. Am I understanding the rules correctly? I'm seeing a head shake from, okay, thank you. Also, this is a applied clinical psychology program. And I noted on their website that it literally says that this program does not meet educational requirements for licensure or certification as a psychologist in the following states, and Arizona is listed as one of them. So I'm not sure, Dr. Choi, whether you were aware of that part or not, but it is on the Chicago School website, specifically stating that they already knew that the requirements were not going to meet Arizona licensure requirements. We have internship hours. It was at the Heredia therapy group, 1,522 hours, but the training plan says that plan was started at 9/15/22, which appears to be 8 months into the training rather than being a sequential training program of growing complexity during internship. Postdoc was also at the Heredia therapy group. The training plan is word for word, exactly identical to the plan used for internship. So if you pass that training plan on internship, what made it a postdoc if you were redoing the exact same training experiences? And it's word for word identical, minus, I think there was a little bit of a change in the signature line, perhaps, and that was about it. So with that information, I do not see a way to really move forward for licensure. Dr. Medina, can you point out anything else or anything that I might have missed?
I think you got everything. Unfortunately, I don't think it meets criteria either for Arizona, for our state.
Dr. Choi, I do have a question for you, if you don't mind. Were you aware that the program basically publicizes that their program only meets degree requirements for California, Texas, and West Virginia, or is this new information to you?
It's actually new information to me. So I was not aware of that when I put in my application here.
So it looks like they had that, unfortunately, in their disclosures, which is as an academic member of this committee, gives me really grave concerns because students with the intent of getting licensed in other states are maybe not aware of this. And that makes me a little upset as part of my academic community requirements, honestly. It is on their website, though. I don't know when it was posted, but as of my review, it was there specifically listing that they already knew that their program did not meet requirements for Arizona. So I am going to ask Jean for a bit of guidance. Would this be an opportunity to withdraw the application instead of it being denied, or what would be proper protocol?
It would be up to you to make a recommendation to the board, but certainly this would be one of those cases where an opportunity to withdraw would be appropriate. It's that the programs you took did not meet the requirements. It can't be remediated. It's not a case where we have unprofessional conduct that we would want to have on record in the form of a denial. So there have been other instances where, for whatever reason, the program just didn't make the cut, meet the standards, and they've been allowed to withdraw.
Dr. Choi, do you understand what my question was and the intent behind it? Okay, I just want to make sure. Do you have any questions for us? Because I recognize this is a very unfortunate situation. Mm-hmm. And it the academic in me, my heart's breaking just a little bit because you put in a lot of work in your program. Mm-hmm. And that is not what this decision speaks to at all. Mm-hmm. It's just literally the requirements. Mm-hmm. Do you have any questions for us?
No, I do not.
I may have something to add, Dr. Flint.
Ms. Packman.
Yes, Madam Chair. Just that in these instances, Ms. Galvin spoke perfectly to, you know, precedent and the legal implications. What to facilitate this, what we would ask of you, Dr. Choi, is just you can send an email to staff, you know, requesting, it doesn't have to be a formal letter, but just, you know, simply requesting the board approve your withdrawal request of your application. And just, I've mentioned this recently to the full board, but when an application is in the substantive review stage, as this one clearly is, then that's a board decision. If there's a request made during the administrative review timeframe by an applicant, they start an application, there's nothing in the application that is, you know, out of the ordinary or a concern. It's simply, you know, the applicant has changed their mind. That can be granted at that stage by me, but this is entirely a board decision.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Packanen. Dr. Choi, thank you for being here. So with that information, Dr. Medina, I'd like to make a motion to forward to the board when Dr. Choi emails whatever that answer is, which I assume is going to be a request to withdraw, that we put that on the next board agenda.
Yes, second.
And all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Dr. Choi. I appreciate you.
Okay, thank you.
The final application in this category, Dr. Medina, would you do the review of that one?
Yes. And let's see, it is for Dr. Dimitra Curtis. Let's see, Dr. Curtis graduated with a doctorate in clinical psychology from the University of Nevada in Las Vegas in August 2024.
Completed a 2,000-hour internship in the University of Texas, El Paso in July 2024. Dr. Kurtzey submitted pre-internship hours, 585 hours from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas at the practice. Those hours, according to my calculations, meet our requirements. They submitted 154 direct, 104 of supervision, and then 657 hours from Sandstone Psychological Practice, 339 direct and 97 of supervision. Two references and a self-query were submitted. Now, I did not see an EPPP submitted.
One that was added?
Was it added? I missed that. I could not find it. And
let me verify that. Kathy, do you remember if that was one? I'm looking at your email right now.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that one was not in the email.
I apologize. I do have it. Let me upload it really quickly.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So that was the only thing I did not see, which was the EPPP score.
All right. So we will get that uploaded quickly. It is a, Kathy, you can just verify it. Is it a passing score?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. Okay.
All right. I don't have any other concerns on that.
I don't have concerns. And Kathy verified it's a passing score. So I have no concerns with this application.
Perfect. So we will, I will make a motion to forward to the board those requesting approval by for licensure by waiver for Dr. Ahn, Dr. Kushner, Dr. Uribe Rini, and Dr. Kurtzey, number 7. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next section is approval for licensure by credential. We have one applicant in this section. Dr. Carhart obtained her doctoral degree in psychology from the Texas A&M University on 5/14/11. She is a CPQ holder issued in February of 2024. She's an APID holder and a PACT authorized holder. She does have licenses in Florida, Connecticut, and New York, with New York being the oldest license held since 9/21/12. There are no actions on any of the held licenses. Declaration and attestation statements were completed. Her self-query was also submitted. So I did not see any concerns on this application, Dr. Medina.
No concerns either.
Okay, motion to forward this license for approval for licensure by credential to the board. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next section is our people requesting approval for licensure by universal recognition. Would you take the first?
Sure. The first case is Dr. Rebecca Moe. And so Dr. Moe graduated from the Argosy University in Chicago, currently is licensed in New York, and the license is in good standing. Dr. Moe submitted a valid Arizona driver's license, voter ID, and self-query. So I do not have any concerns with this application.
Excellent, nor do I. The second one in this category, Dr. Jessica Wirtz, graduated from Loma Linda University on 9/1/12. She holds a license in Illinois, which doesn't expire until 2026. There are no actions. Declaration and attestation statements were completed. A new self-query form and residency was verified through Arizona driver's license. I did not see any concerns on that one. Perfect. So I'd like to motion to move forward to the board a recommendation for licensure by universal recognition for Dr. Moe and Dr. Wirtz. Second?
Second.
Second.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mm-hmm. And the very last one, Dr. Medina, would you present?
It is Dr. Dean Lieb. And Dr. Lieb is licensed in the state of California. The license is in good standing. This is a request for telehealth registry. They submitted the certificate of insurance, information on a statutory agent. At the station that Dr. Leave has read it, and will update the registration annually, and has read our statutes and rules, and a self-query was submitted, so I do not have any concerns with this application.
I agree with you. Thank you for that. So I'd like to motion to move forward an approval for the telehealth registry for Dr. Leave.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Our next section is new agenda items for future meetings. Do you have anything, Dr. Medina, or anyone else on the crew? Perfect. So we won't add anything moving forward.
Chair, yes. May I ask, you had several months ago wanted us to put the pre-internship verification on the agenda, but I didn't, you were going to send some documents, but life took over, I guess.
Life took over. I believe the issue was fixed by some added wording, and I was going to clarify that with you. I did check with the DCT, and she felt like a word was added that clarified it. So I think the issue is taken care of.
Excellent. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you for clarifying on that. Anything else that we should put on the official agenda? Perfect. So do I hear a motion to adjourn the application review committee?
So move.
All in favor?
Aye.
The meeting is adjourned at 8:53 a.m. with my great thanks. This was a lot of work for you guys to put together. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Have a great day.
Have a wonderful rest of your Friday.
See you next week.
Bye.
See you next Friday.